Good evening to you. Item on the agenda is Chairman's notices. The only one I'll actually read out is in relation to sound recording. Any part of the meeting held in open session will be subsequently published on the Council's website, and I assume any member of the public who speaks during the public session will give their permission for the recording. You'll see on your agenda what you're to do in the case of fire, and you're also told that you mustn't trip over the steps at the back of the council chamber, and also the meeting's being monitored by CCTV. Okay, agenda item two is apologies for absence, please.
Thank you, Chairman. We have apologies from Councillor Sismi and Councillor Cousin. Councillor Harker, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Agenda item three is to confirm the minutes of the council held on the 5th of February, down on pages 1 to 13. For accuracy only, please. Anything on page 1, page 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Your wish I sign those as a true record? Agenda item 4 is to confirm the minutes of the extraordinary council held on the 19th of February, not the 22nd of January as shown on the agenda. This is to be found on pages 14 to 25. Accuracy only, please. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. Your wish I sign those as a true record. Agenda item 5 is to confirm the minutes of the extraordinary council held on the 12th of March, found on pages 1 to 7. Right. Page 1, page 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Is it your wish I sign those? Okay, that brings us to agenda item 6, and that's the declaration of interest, and that's to disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interests, other pecuniary interests or non-pecuniary interests relating to items of business on the agenda, having regard to paragraph 6 to 8 inclusive of the Code of Conduct for members. And I'm to remind you that should you discover you have an interest during the course of the meeting, you're to declare it. Councillor Boyce, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I wish to declare a non-pecuniary interest being a member of Essex County Council in relation to agenda item 12 and 13, and if any other issue arises, I will report.
Thank you. Agenda item 7 is public questions. There are none, thank you. That brings us to agenda item 8. This is Chairman's announcements. That's customary for me to stand for this. First of all, I'd like to say thank you, first of all, for the events which the Vice Chairman's attended on my behalf, because there's been quite a few since our last meeting. One of the things which, well, they will be published in the agenda, sort of the minutes of this meeting, there was a couple of matters which we've been to several award ceremonies. There was the Pride of Tendering Awards. There was the Burnham Town Council Awards, the Essex Community Foundation High Sheriff's Awards, and I believe that quite a few local authorities are recognised in the work done by people in their community, and I would commend to any future council that maybe Morden District Council could give some thought to a similar activity for themselves. The next thing I have to do, as a present matter, is to show you all this certificate and tell you just a wee bit about it. This, in fact, I'm delighted to inform you that the Love Essex campaign won the Diamond Jubilee Partnership Award at the 2015 Keep Britain Tidy Awards last month, beating the Mayor of London's Capital Cleanup Programme. The Love Essex campaign saw Morden District Council join forces with all the Essex local authorities, the Highways Agency, Essex County Council, McDonald's, Domino's, KFC and RP2 Media to help tackle the issue of fast food litter across the country. Across the county, I beg your pardon. The campaign was a resounding success and saw a reduction in fast food litter of 41% during the campaign period.
The event was attended by the Environment Minister, Dan Rogerson MP. He congratulated all those involved and recognised the positive effect this campaign has had. Due to the achievements of last year's campaign, we intend to join forces with all the partners named above and take part in what we hope will be another successful campaign next year. So that's a bit of good news. Councillor Dale likes to give us news. Good news, so do I. Okay. The next part of my announcements is, in fact, I've been asked by Councillor Long to agree for him to make a presentation to the Council, and I've conceded to his request, and so over to you, Councillor Long.
That's very kind of you, Chairman. I do appreciate this. I shall be very brief.
This will be my 39th year with Morden District Council, but it doesn't, I'm sure it doesn't show too much. And also, this could well be, it all depends on the gods, what will happen at the election, whether this might well be my last council meeting. Yeah. So it's going to be a bit of a wrench. Let's be serious. Now, I'm going to miss, if it does happen, I will miss all my colleagues and also staff. After 39 years, I know a lot of staff and also a lot of members, and I've been privileged to work with you. And I like you all, I'd say 98% of you. So in lieu of my 39 years, it's been almost half a lifetime. I thought it would be nice if I presented the council with something which will all go in your lobby downstairs or in the members' room or in the council. And what it is, it's an actual facsimile of the Magna Carta. It's a direct copied facsimile of the four remaining that do remain in the British Museum, and it's taken from that and the facsimile of it, and it shows the Royal Crest and all those who were present at the signing. And on the wall, as you already know, you've got the English translation, but I thought you would like this.
On behalf of the Council, I'd like to thank Councillor Long for his generous gift, and I'm sure that future members of the Council will learn quite a bit from Magna Carta, which apparently Robert Long was there when it was written. Most important thing is that this is my last Council as a Chairman of the Council, although we do have these planning committee councils to deal with later. But I think you can't let the last council go by without saying thank you to people. The most important thing is to thank all the officers, the Chief Executive and all her officers during the year I've been in office have been very great help to me, and I think we ought to show our appreciation to them. I'd also like to say thank you to the Vice Chairman for his help during the course of the year, and I think all you members have made my year a very pleasant one. We've had some interesting things to deal with, and I appreciate the way orderly manner in which we've conducted our business. There are two other people who are very self-effacing who wouldn't like to be publicly thanked, but you can't let this occasion go by without saying thank you very much to Alia, who is the PA to the Chairman, and I can assure you she is Mrs. Super Efficient. The other lady who doesn't like to be mentioned too much is my wife Kate, who stood by my side through many an interesting event. Sometimes I think the one most memorable one was standing down at the cemetery in the freezing cold on the day when we did the annual dedication of the trees down there. It's an important job that Chairman does, but it wasn't very comfortable. Okay, although this actually says the last meeting, we have got a very busy April, so like Frank Sinatra, I shall probably have several farewell performances. And before I finish, I would like to ask those people who do come back, and some of us know we're not coming back, and other of us don't know you're not coming back. But whatever happens, I'd like to ask whoever does come back to remember to tell the new members about Rule 8. Because I think Rule 8 has been reasonably successfully used this year, and I actually think that the council meetings are better for it. So part of their instruction when they first start should certainly include that. And the other thing I'd like you to draw their attention to is our motto, vision,
I was waiting for the carriage to say but I think that's important that we actually draw our new members' attention to that. As I say, some know, some of us know we're not coming back. To those who don't know they're not coming back, I give my condolences and thank you for the services which you've rendered, and I wish you all very good luck in the elections.
Thank you, Ria.
Thank you, Chairman. I think it is necessary to actually record members' gratitude to you and the 32 years that you have served the people of this district. 32 years. I remember us appearing here in 1983, which means I've been here 32 years as well. And whether I'm one that returns or whether I'm one that doesn't, I believe that your service to this council and this district has been exemplary. You have, as far as I'm aware, always been a chairman or vice chairman of a committee or a subcommittee, and a little bird told me earlier that your first meeting, the chairman of the planning committee, the North Planning Committee as it was in those days, phoned you up and said, Frank, I'm not coming tonight, you'll have to deal with it. And that is a birth of fire. Chairman, thank you for your service.
I'm on the extraordinary planning meeting, Chairman. I'm just a little bit concerned that we have gone out on the decision notice, which I don't think quite reflects what I said and what the committee has there, and so the council agreed to. And it refers to both this great totem and page three. Of the extraordinary meeting of the council, which will be the last one, March. So I've never done that. No, these are the decision notice thing. I've just noticed it. I'm a little bit concerned with the wording about what I believe members' intentions were. And it's worded as such in both of the reasons I refuse. It says, as such, the proposal is not considered to represent sustainable development, and the adverse impacts of this development would not significantly and demonstrably harm demonstrably outweigh the benefits of the scheme. So we've not seen my memory is quite clear that we made it quite clear that demonstrable harm outweighing the benefits. Now I'm very concerned, Chairman, that shown on both of them, that is not what members intended, and it totally has a different meaning should these applications end up in appeal.
Well spotted, thank you very much.
Well, we'll definitely need to deal with that. Thank you, Councillor Mrs. Chandler, for that.
Thank you, Chairman.
Right, that brings us then to agenda item 9, which is to receive the minutes of the undermentioned committees. And first of all, it's the Audit Committee found on pages 1 to 6. And I think it was Councillor Harker who was So, Councillor Elliott, I believe you are the Vice Chairman. Would you please present those minutes?
Thank you, Chairman. I rise to present the minutes of the Audit Committee held in this chamber on the 29th of January, found on pages 1 to 6, and ask for this adoption.
Second it, please. Thank you very much. Please carry on.
Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. I so move.
Thank you. Three. 9B, the North Western Area Planning Committee on the 2nd of February. Councillor Mrs. Thompson, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I rise to present the minutes of the North Western Area Planning Committee held in this chamber on the 2nd of February. and to be found on pages 7 to 31, and move their reception and adoption.
Second that, Mr. Chairman.
Please carry on.
Page 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Bass.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Top of the page,
NW8, refers to 7 Wooldridge Place, Wickham Bishops, and yet 2 paragraphs down it was noted, members update the consultation response we received from Tollescent Knights Parish Council. I find that unlikely, and I think that's an error.
Yes, I think you're probably right, Councillor Best. Thank you for pointing that out. Please continue, Councillor Mrs. Thompson.
Thank you, Councillor Best. Thank you, Chairman. I can't remember if I said 20, so I'll say 20, 21, 22, 23,
24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31.
I so move.
Thank you. Agenda item 9C, Appeals Committee, which I believe is chaired by Councillor Long, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I wish to present the minutes of the Appeals Subcommittee, 3rd of February, that took place in this chamber, Chairman. And I propose the adoption, if I may.
The second, anybody will second that, please. Sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please move on.
Page 32. Page 33. Page 34. And page 35. So moved.
Thank you very much. Everybody agree? Agenda item 9D, which is the South East Area Planning Committee, Councillor Pratt.
Thank you, Chairman. I rise to present the minutes of the South East Area Planning Committee. They were held at Burnham Town Council offices on the 9th of February. They are found on pages 36 to 55, and I move their reception and adoption.
We have seconders all over the room. Please carry on.
Thank you, Chairman. 36, 37, page 38, 39, page 40, 41, 42. Page 43, page 44, 45, 46, page 47, page 48, 49, 50, page 51, 52, page 53, page 54, page 55, I so move.
Thank you, Councillor Pratt.
Thank you, John.
Agenda item 9E, that's the overview and scrutiny committee. In the absence of Councillor Cousin, would Councillor Jake please present them for me?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I'll beg to present the minutes of the overview and scrutiny committee held in these offices on the 11th of February 2015, found on pages 56 to 16, move the reception and adoption.
Have a seconder, please carry on.
Page 56, 57, 58, 59 and 60, I so move.
Thank you very much. Agenda item 9F, the Central Area Planning Committee, held on the 18th of February. Councillor Williams, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I rise to present the minutes of the Central Area Planning Committee, held in this chamber on the 18th of February. Your acceptance and approval. Page 61.
We've got some seconders. Yeah. Carry on, Councillor Williams.
Page 61. Yeah.
Just like for a matter of accuracy, I was actually in attendance at this meeting.
Thank you, Councillor. Page 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78. I so move.
Thank you very much. Yep. That brings us to 9G, which is the Community Services Committee, held on the 24th of February. Councillor Darren, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman, I rise to present the minutes of the Community Services Committee held in this chamber on the 24th of February. And requests for reception and adoption needs to be found on pages 79 to 81, mercifully short.
Yeah, for a second, please continue.
Thank you, 79, 80, 81, I so move.
Thank you very much. That brings us to agenda item 9H, which is the minutes of the North Western Area Committee held on the 2nd of March. Councillor Mrs. Thompson again, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I rise this time to present the minutes of the North West Area Planning Committee held in the chamber on the 2nd of March and to be found on pages 82 to 108 and move their reception and adoption.
We have a seconder, please carry on.
82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 100, 101, and 2, and 3, and 4, 5, and 6, and 7, and 8 are so moved.
Thank you. That brings us to agenda item 10, and that's to receive the minutes of the committee in your book too. And the first one of those is the Planning and Licensing Committee held on 5th of March. Councillor Mrs. Channer, please.
Thank you very much, Chairman. I rise to present the minutes of the Planning and Licensing Committee held in this chamber on the 5th of March on pages 1 to 7 and move their reception and adoption.
I have several seconders. Please carry on.
Thank you. Page 1, page 2, and page 2, Chairman, 8.875, the last paragraph, it says, following further discussion, it was agreed that the Chairman would speak to the Chief Executive. Actually, Chairman, it was to write, and I did do so. It was by email. I thought they had been corrected. Anything else on page 1, on page 2, rather? Page 3, a recommendation, Chairman. Page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, I so move.
Thank you. That brings us then to agenda item 10. Second item, which was the South Eastern Area Planning Committee held on the 9th of March. Councillor Pratt again, please.
Thanks, Chairman. I rise to present the minutes of the South Eastern Area Planning Committee. It was held at Burnetown Council offices on the 9th of March. They're found on pages 8 to 14 and move their reception and adoption.
Go to your seconders, please.
You.
Carry on.
Page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, 12, page 13, page 14, I so move.
Thank you, Councillor Pratt. That brings us finally to the Finance and Corporate Services Committee held on the 10th of March. And last, Councillor Fluker, please, to present those.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you for the advice and help and support you gave me when I first joined this council in relation to chair meetings. Chairman, I rise on this instant, but not really late. I rise on this instant, Chairman, to present the minutes of the meeting of the Finance and Corporate Service Committee held in this chamber on the 10th of March, to be found on pages 15 to 23, and commend their reception and adoption.
Well, I'll second that to be
thank
helpful
you,
to you.
Page 15, page 16, a recommendation, page 17, a recommendation, page 18, page 19, a recommendation, page 20, page 21, a recommendation, page 22, page 23, a resolve, Chairman, which I hope moves us forward to a paperless committee, which I hope you will appreciate. I so move, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. That brings us to agenda item 11, which is questions in accordance with the rule 6, of which due notice has been given. Have we, haven't we? Right, thank you. That brings us then to agenda item 12, which is a report from the Director of Customer Community Services in relation to Essex County Bus. A response, I think, I'll ask the leader to present this, please.
Thank you, Chairman.
Oh, sorry. thank you, Chairman. Consultation response to Essex County Council bus and passenger transport strategy lays out very clearly a lot of the geography and population and employment of the district contained in on 210, 212 and 213. Also, I will add that the Director of Community Customers and Community Mr. Holmes did, I believe, circulate everybody to say, have you got any observations you'd like to make on this consultation. I don't know whether he received any, but the sum total of it is the consultation reply as in Appendix 1. I so move.
Very clear recommendation. That brings us to agenda item 13 then, which is once again the leader of the council to present in relation to the devolution settlement for Essex. Councillor Boyce, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Members will remember this debate, I forget when they decided to actually approve going along with this devolution exercise, but were not prepared at that stage to fund it. In the budget speech that I made in February, I pointed out that there was several bits of new information that had come forward that would make it worthwhile to bring this report back to council. And this is the purpose of this report. There is a recommendation under six with two recommendations. I'd like to add a third and a fourth. The third is an officer and member working group is set up to oversee devolution issues. Little four, regular reports to go to council. With those amendments, Chairman, I move the report.
Members happy to receive those recommendations?
No, Mr. Chairman, I certainly don't. I'm sorry, but this £5,000 for Essex County Council, I think is totally unacceptable. They have a budget of over £2 billion in Essex. I'm sure they can find £5,000. They spend most of their time arguing that the sooner Essex County Council is abolished, the better. Hopefully an incoming Labour government will devolve powers to the district where it belongs. And I oppose this totally.
Right, so I've heard one point of view in opposition to the recommendation. Councillor Mrs. Channer?
Pardon, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I do beg your pardon and apologies. I should declare that in peculiar interest, I'm an Essex County Councillor. So I may be getting jettisoned soon, according to Councillor says it. But I also declare that through all the other reports prepared to Essex as well, Chairman. So I thank Councillor Sosik for organising my demise. Thank you.
Councillor Cheshire.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Would it be possible, or would you agree, that the working group should in fact be chaired by a member?
I think that's something which is... I'll leave that with the leader, but I'm sure that's what was his intention anyway. Councillor Fluker.
Thank you, Chairman. I don't so much remember the debate as I remember the vote that took place, Chairman, and trying to unravel that, but this is really all to do, in my mind, as buying a place at a table, and I think it would be very foolish if this local authority wasn't at that table and took up the invitation, Chairman, so I would support this recommendation and the additional ones.
Councillor Long.
Just briefly, Chairman, Councillor Slodzik, I think he's taking your comments to heart regarding our motto, and he's concentrated on the word courage, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Beale, were you wishing to speak?
Chairman, I'm wondering when it says about an officer and member working group, will that be balanced with parliament to get in, or is it as usual, more conservative, say,
Could I just ask the leader to address that matter, please?
Chairman, if you wish me to sum up,
but just to address Councillor Beale's point about, I think working groups aren't.
I can't predict what the makeup of this council will be after the election. That will be for the new council to determine.
Councillor Mrs. Channer.
Thank you, Chairman. I spoke heavily in support of this when the report first came to council, and I do now, Chairman. For me, it is about actually getting greater powers devolved down and funding, which I think will only benefit the residents of this district. It will enable the council to have more of a say, and things like skills, jobs, which are ultimately important, I think, to have that greater control of our destiny and the residents and acting on their behalf really will be a very positive outcome for the residents of this district. And that's what we must think about at all times, Chairman.
Okay, we've had two points of view expressed. I will put the recommendations.
Can I respond to
you? Yes, please do, Councillor Boyce.
Thank you, Chairman. Councillor Slodzik, it's not £5,000 to Essex County Council. It's a contribution from all the authorities in Essex. And as to Councillor Cheshire's point about being chaired by a member, yes.
Thank you. Right, so we have four recommendations now. There's two are printed, and then there's one which talks about the setting up the working group. Another one is regular reporting back to the council. Those in favour, please indicate. Those against? Right, thank you. That is carried. That brings us to agenda item 14, which is to seek approval to changes to the council's whistleblowing policies, which are shown in an appendix. Once again, the leader, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I do wish to change the recommendations on this. With thanks to East Ayrshire Council and Councillor Cheshire for researching. But there is, and it's being passed out now, a handling anonymous complaints paragraph there that I would wish to add. And change the recommendation to that the revisions to the whistleblowing policy and procedures and also the customer feedback policy and procedure set out in amendment be agreed and delete in paragraphs 222 and 234 respectively above shown appendix 1 to this report be agreed or be deleted. That includes deleting the existing appendix.
So we have a new recommendation which I'll give you a minute or two to read. Councillor Bass, have you read it already?
Please, Mr. Chairman, but I'd like to make some comments on the report before we consider the amendment. Is that in order?
By all means, yes. Please do.
Thank you very much. Could I draw members' attention to the appendix before it's deleted? And just say that I do have some difficulties with this report. And I refer members to the penultimate paragraph, which states anonymous complaints will not be dealt with under this or any other subsequent stages of procedure. Should a complainant wish to maintain anonymity, he or she may be advised that a possible course of action would be to pursue the complaint through his or her ward member. If the person is anonymous, how will we be able to communicate with him to tell him that?
Councillor Bass, I think that the new amendment rules out the necessity to even look at Appendix 1.
Can I just also say, and I'm sure the new appendix also draws this issue, but I think we need to debate. We had a report in front of us, and I accept that there's an amendment coming through, but the report is here for us surely to determine, to discuss. I'm also concerned with to item 2.2.2 on the first page, where it says no matter of anonymous issues will be dealt with at all.
Well, quite honestly, the points you're making are completely and utterly overruled by the different recommendation to us. Councillor Mr. Channel.
Thank you, Chairman. I think there was an omission from this report, Chairman. In that I feel quite strongly, we're talking about anonymous complaints, and we now I've seen the amendment saying how we might determine whether we follow them or not. But, Chairman, I think if there is anonymous correspondence, when it comes into this council or within the council, then I do think that immediately the person who may be identified within that anonymous complaint, i.e. who they may be the complaints about, or rather by their post, then I think they should have the right to be notified immediately, Chairman, and that a matter discussed without them knowing should not be the case. They should be told immediately so they are aware.
Councillor Lewis.
Thank you. I think this whole matter needs a closer attention than just borrowing somebody else's procedure and protocol. It's actually incredibly serious, and what we're not doing here is giving those people who are being complained about the right of reply if that complainant, if the complaint's taken seriously, if that complainant remains anonymous, because she can't reply to anybody. And that actually is a very important and valuable situation for a person who has been wrongly and maliciously accused to be allowed to use. So I would actually suggest that this whole situation needs more consideration than it's currently being given, that there needs to be an element of consideration about the person being complained about, as if that person is a counsellor, there needs to be a situation where this council needs to decide to what level the duty of care the council has to the counsellor exists, because we know there is a duty of care, albeit a measured one. So actually, I think that if we're going to take anonymous complaints seriously at all, and not just bin them, because I think if anybody wants to complain and they haven't got the courage of the convictions to put their name against it, then quite frankly, we have to protect the person who is being victimised and possibly harassed by this rather unfortunate kind of action. To whom do you reply?
Leader, would you care to respond to the point Ms. Lewis makes? Because I mean, your recommendation is...
Chairman, I note the point that Mrs. Channer made, and I'm prepared to accept that. The way that I would prefer to proceed at the moment is to make so that we have a clear policy in place, is to accept this policy that I have proposed tonight, and that for the monitoring officer to then review the other issues that members have raised and bring a further report back, rather than not have a clear policy.
Right, Councillor Bash, you indicated your intention to speak.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was going to come back, believe it or not, and agree with everything that Councillor Ms. Lewis has said, and I think that this report, even with the amendment, is not complete. It's not, with respect, been done properly, and I think it should be pulled, and we should start with a new report, for no doubt, for the next council.
Thank you, Councillor Chair.
Thank you, Chairman. I've just noticed something about something will be recorded on the complaints data records in this handling of complaints amendment. Now, what I would say there, Chairman, I think I stand to be corrected. I'm sure the monitoring officer, the legal officer, could advise. But I think one needs to be very careful. If the anonymous complaint is in writing, and it is perhaps malicious and making statements that could be untrue, one needs to be very careful of, I think, defamation and libel, even from anonymous complaint, because even if it's anonymous but it's propagated onto various other areas, I believe, unless OM can prove the case made, then that can lead to perhaps the person being complained about making defamation or libel charges. I've just like that qualified.
Thank you. Can I just take Councillor Down and let the leader come back again?
Thank you, Chairman. I think what we need here is a measured approach. Quite honestly, vexatious, groundless, anonymous letters should be treated fairly quickly and promptly and disregarded. However, we're maybe a position where an anonymous letter is received that alleges very serious, potentially criminal acts that may have repercussions for the authority, which the authority would be negligent to overlook. Now, there may be reasons of intimidation or fear or whatever that made that person provide the complaint anonymously. So I think we need to have a balanced approach. Now, which body we use to decide what is vexatious or not, I don't know, but I mean, in my opinion, a vexatious, repetitive, anonymous complaint is usually fairly obvious. But I think we need to have a policy. I agree that the one that we're looking at tonight is flawed, but I think we owe it to ourselves and we owe it to all members to have a decent, workable and enforceable policy going into the new administration, one that will protect members, one that will protect officers, and ones that will protect people who feel there is no other option than to produce an anonymous complaint for whatever reason that is. As I said, vexatious complaints should be shredded immediately, but there may be an occasion where that isn't the case, and I think we need to look at this a little bit harder.
Councillor Kane.
Chairman, I think this, I very rarely disagree with Councillor Darren on this side, but I do believe this is, this report is simple. It is simple, but it's not workable and it's not enforceable. And I think the problem is, the emphasis is on simple. It's too simple. I think, you know, a paragraph, or a full paragraph, should I say, on something as important as this, there's no procedures, there's no sort of defined areas of where it goes to a senior manager, then if you like, it escalates up. There's no procedure or anything there at all, Chairman. And it is just too simple. And I think agreeing this would be create more problems ultimately if there is an anonymous complaint that it would actually solve. So I can't support this, Chairman. I think we certainly do need a procedure in place, but I think now it should wait until we have we come back after the elections, we have a new administration, and then look at it then. It's far too simple, and it really doesn't define how we should proceed at all.
Councillor Boyce.
Chairman, I appreciate the consensus of the council, and I'm quite happy to withdraw this item and ask for it to come back in the new
council's wish. Thank you. That brings us to agenda item 15, which is questions to leader in accordance with rule number 1. Councillor Hurd.
Thank you, Chairman. Although rejected overwhelmingly by every Conservative member present, does the leader applaud the decision by Councillor Bass of Essex County Council by agreeing to keep the streetlights on until 1 a.m? Does he applaud that decision?
Chairman, it's rather very interesting coming from Councillor Hurd, who tried to increase the council tax to pay for it. We've now got it for now.
And now Councillor Fluke.
Thank you, Chairman. I did actually have 111 questions for the leader tonight, but leader, and I hope that's not lost on some. Leader, I'm sure you would join me in congratulating all those at Stowe Mowers. It's rare for any business to get mentioned in the budget, but I think the position at Stowe is absolutely extraordinary. It would appear that they're going to get another 1.3 million. And if the Pond Park is our jewel in the crown, I guess that's something that's in the sky. But it is coming, and I do hope that you join me and congratulating them all, and I'll quickly say, declare an interest in the openness and transparency. I am in fact a trustee. Thank you.
That's the voice.
Chairman, I'm more than happy to do so. When Prince Edward visited the site the day before the announcement, I was introduced to him as the man that saved the and I am certainly pleased that the funding for Stowe Mowers it has been secured, the additional funding. They are doing a fantastic job down there, and they we are having our Armed Forces Day on June the 28th, I think, on the June the 27th at Stowe Mowers for the second year, I'm sure that they are going to go from strength to strength. And to see those B-2 aeroplanes, that although they're called reproductions, replicas, they're not. They're actually made from the original drawings. And they fly at 55 miles an hour, and it just seems unbelievable. When they start, they fly at 55 miles an hour. But I certainly agree with Councillor Fulker, they ought to be applauded. We ought to promote them and the tourism and the history of our district all the way. Thank you.
Any other members? Right, thank you. That brings us to agenda item 16, which is the exclusion of the press and public. and that's to resolve that under section 184 of the Local Government Act 1972, the public be excluded from the meeting for the following item of business on the grounds that it involves the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 3 of part 1 of schedule 12A to the Act, and this satisfies the public interest, and that is the Waste and Environmental Services contract on agendas item 17 and 19. Could I now have a proposal and a seconder for that? Thank you very much.